man who has been diagnosed with colon cancer. And as I've been following, he's been emailing and posting things, and as he does, you come away with a sense that the man has a strong trust, a strong faith in the promises God has given to him. As he was diagnosed, he said words that were very similar to Job's. The Lord has given me so many blessings in my life. How can I not also accept this from him? And through it, you've seen certainly some moments where he's perhaps felt that uncertainty in life, uncertainty with a diagnosis or wondering what the doctor was going to say next. But it wouldn't be long after that he would again express the confidence that he has in God's word and in God's promises. And from someone standing on the outside, you see that and you read it, and you can't help but be impressed and perhaps in awe of the trust that he has in his Savior and in God's promises. There's probably some of us or some part of us that says, I hope that if I'm ever put in a position like that I too turn to God's promises like he has and have that confidence. That even in the midst of trials and hardships, I know that God is still with me. That he's going to be with me and guard and protect me. Perhaps if we were to put ourselves in one of those situations, some of the first words that would come to mind are those words that are recorded for us this morning in Romans chapter 8. Huh? In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, are words that I think are probably have been on our minds, and especially on our minds in times when things aren't going quite as well as we had planned or had hoped. And so we open our Bibles or we know the passage by heart where Paul writes, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Such comfort there, isn't there? For us as believers, as we go through those trials and hardships in life, to be able to know that, you know what, even in this, as bad as it may seem, God is still in control. God still has that big picture in mind, and he's able to see, yes, we may be experiencing something painful in our life, but ultimately God can even use that circumstance or that situation and make it a way that is going to be a benefit to me, make it be a blessing to me in my relationship with my Savior as I have the opportunity to put those words into practice, as I trust those promises of God. Enormous comfort for the believer as they go through painful trials to say, yes, even in this though, God has my good. Even in this, God is showing me his love. Enormous comfort for the believer as we look at those words from chapter 8. God promises to work all things out for our good. Can you have confidence? Now, I'm sure some of you are, you know, and have the right answer in mind. Yes, of course, because it's God's word. But I think as you begin to look at the words that come right after that promise of God, there's even more reason for us to be confident of that promise. Reasons, God says, you can be certain that as I not only send trial and hardship into your life, but you have that confidence that I can use that and use it for your good, for your benefit. So we look at those words also recorded for us in verses 29 and 30 of Romans chapter 8. He said, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. God gives that promise to a very select number of people, doesn't he? He says, God will work out all things for good, too, for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's not a blanket promise he makes to everybody, but he says, to you, my children, whom I've called and adopted into my family, to you, you have this promise. He says, because you're part of my family, you can be confident in it. He says, for those God foreknew, predestined. To say that God foreknew us means that God knew, even before creation, everything about us. He knew who we were. He knew what our strengths and our weaknesses would be. He knew all about us, even knew our sin. And yet, in that foreknowledge, he said, I want you to be my child. He predestined us. He chose us before creation to be his child. Paul, in the book of Ephesians, says the very same thing. And I printed it for you on the bottom of the first page of the outline there. He says in Ephesians 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. In other words, before creation, God chose us to be his children. He did that out of grace. Remember what grace was and still is? Undeserved love, right? God chose us not because of who we are or things we would do or who we might become, but before creation, God in his undeserved love for us said, I am going to call you. I want you to be my child. I am choosing you to be part of my family. Undeserved. Predestination then becomes a promise, a teaching of comfort for the believer, right? That we might try to plumb the depths of God's wisdom and his will of saying, well, why me? And or how do I know? But really, that teaching of predestination is one of comfort that says it's not anything I'm going to do. There's nothing in me that would say God should choose me. In fact, the very opposite is true. God tells me and reminds me in his word just how often in life we disobey God and rebel against God. And God comes to us and says, I've chosen you. You're my child. I've paid for your sins by sending my son to forgive your sins. Grace. God's undeserved love for you and me. Those he predestined, he did with a specific goal in mind. He mentions that in verse 29. He predestined those to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. God's goal in choosing you was so that you would be, as Paul puts it, conformed to the likeness of his son. That not only would you be perfect and holy and righteous in God's eyes, just like Jesus is, but all the blessings that are that come to us through Christ are yours. That you've been adopted into God's family and can rightly be called one of God's sons and daughters, just like his son, because he chose you to be part of his family. He adopted you into his household. Forgiven your sin. He's conformed you. He's made you perfect and righteous through Jesus. those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. So far as you think of those words of Paul, all of them have occurred before creation, right? Him choosing us, foreknowing us, predestining us. But in time, this you and I are living here in our time here on earth, God calls us. And through the Holy Spirit, working through the gospel, that God creates in our hearts a saving faith, a trust and a knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, so that in time, that predestination, that foreknowledge God had, takes place, is fulfilled, as he calls us to be his children, calls us to faith, and assures us that in Jesus our sins are forgiven. As he calls us, he says he justifies us. Don't imagine justify is one of those words we use real often in our everyday language. To justify means to declare not guilty. As he calls us to faith, the blessings God has won for us become ours. Our sins are forgiven. Jesus' righteousness, his perfection, becomes ours. So that instead of being able to judge us for our sins and condemn us, that he sees able to look at us and say, you're not guilty. You've been justified. Your sin has been paid for by your Savior. You are free. You're forgiven. Those he's called, he's justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Forgiven, holy now. We look and we say, this is all God's doing, huh? It's all God's work that he's worked on my behalf. My salvation, my getting to heaven is entirely God's work, so that as I look at myself and my faith and my salvation, I can't help but give glory to God. I can't help but praise him because he's done it all for me. And God's promised that you too will experience that glory of God. Not just in heaven, but right now. Because we've been justified and forgiven, he says we've also been glorified. It's not something that's waiting for us in the future. But because we are already God's children and forgiven, we are glorified. And in that glory, and in that state of glorification, we look forward to that time when God takes us to heaven and we receive that perfect glorified body, where we get to spend an eternity with our God, praising him for who he is and all he's done for us. But until then, we get to spend our time here doing the same thing, being able to give God glory and marvel at God's glory that he would save us. Now as you take a step back and you look at all that the Apostle Paul packed into those two verses, that God foreknew us, chose us, he predestined us, then in time he called us to faith, he justified us, and now he's given us that promise of a home in heaven and that glory that's waiting us there. You see all that God has done for us, and then you look back at verse 28, you say, of course I can have confidence in God's promise. If God has worked my entire salvation out for me already, given it to me out of his grace, out of his undeserved love for me, has destroyed death, defeated the devil, completely wiped away all of my sin, and given me the perfection that he demands, he's done all that for me already. Surely as I work through trials, troubles, the pain of living here on earth, certainly I can have confidence then in that promise when he says, I can work all things out for your good. Because I've called you to be my child. perhaps there are those difficulties in life where God in His wisdom enables us to see the end. You can look back and you see those troubled times in life and you see how God was with you, perhaps not in the moment, but you see how God worked it out for your good. And there may be those times in life where God in His wisdom doesn't enable us to see the good that comes from the pain in our life. But His promise is still there, isn't it? A promise that you and I can have complete confidence and trust in. That regardless of the situation we find ourselves in, regardless of the painful trials or hardships that come into our life, we have the promise of God that He's with us. That because He is the Almighty God, He has the power to work through that trouble and ultimately bring it for our good. Perhaps not here on earth, but finally ultimately in heaven. As He takes us from this world of sorrow to glory everlasting in heaven. As you experience those trials and hardships and life trials and things you know are going to be there, remember God's promises. And as you remember those promises, be confident in them as you remember all that God has already done for you. He's called you to be His child. He's called you to be His follower, and one day will call you to be with Him in heaven. Amen.